You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight in the Cooligans, we are getting serious because there's protests going on. There's a lot of seriousness going on. And soccer is very, very heavily involved in everything. And we are talking about the RSL owner who's going to be forced to sell the team.
That's right. Plus, we get a little bit lighter. We talked to Roy Wood Jr. We talked to him about a lot. We talked about Daily Show. And who's better at FIFA, him or Trevor Noah? Find out that and more today on the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Yes. We got to get the energy high. It is September. It is. Do days and months even matter anymore?
Dude, I'm still in those 2 weeks that they told us to stay inside to flatten the curve. That's still where my head's at. So I can't wait to see what March is going to look like.
We're just like, in a couple of days, this will all be over and we'll be getting back to our normal lives.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it'll be great. We'll be out. We'll be coughing in each other's mouths. It'll be fine.
Just like the old days. Okay.
Yeah, just like my granddaddy used to do. His granddad used to do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television right here on Fubo TV.
That's right. Also happens to be the gulliest show anywhere, but especially here on Fubo TV.
Okay. Yes. We definitely told everybody at Fubo TV, like, hey. We're the gulliest at Fubo TV, all right?
Yeah, so run that. Like, we don't really know what you mean, but what, sure.
Exactly. I don't know.
Please stop eating all the snacks.
I handle the app. I don't know exactly what you need me to do for you.
I actually just let you into the building. I'm a security guard, so feel free to tell them once you get upstairs.
Hello, everybody. Look, I mean, there's so much to discuss today, but we have an exciting show. We have an incredible guest. We're going to be joined by Roy Wood Jr. of the Daily Show, you will enjoy it.
What more needs to be said? He's got a bunch of shows on Comedy Central. I mean, he's the guy's the best, one of the best comics working today. So
exactly, we're huge fans of him. And if you do not know Roy, you will be a huge fan of him after our conversation with him. So a couple things to discuss before we get things going. Let's get some serious stuff out of the way. Last week, a lot happened not only in soccer, but in society,
in the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
I think it started really with the WNBA and the NBA players pretty much deciding that they were going to protest and they were not going to play their playoff matches, the NBA playoff matches. And it started with, I believe, with the Milwaukee Bucks. And that set off a domino effect of everyone kind of realizing, like, hey, after the Jacob Blake shooting, we can't keep going back to life as usual, right?
Yeah, something needs to be done to sort of let people know the things that are happening outside of sports are affecting everyone, especially if you play sports. It doesn't matter what you do. We should all be affected somehow. We should all do something to let everyone know this isn't okay. Something as simple as, like, I don't even know how you put yourself in the mindset to play a game when something like, especially the video, which is just continuously getting shared. It's so hard to watch, and it's bombarding everyone's timeline, regardless of what app you're on. I was really excited. Excited is probably the wrong word. I was really proud of the Milwaukee Bucks when they decided not to play. And it seemed like immediately it got right into the MLS sphere where it was like, they're also not playing.
There were a bunch of games. So I believe this was Wednesday. There was only one MLS match that happened, which was Orlando and Nashville. And that was that put some people off because they were like, none of the other matches happened. The players and the teams arrived to whatever stadium and then chose to, just to not play, which is a really, really powerful statement. And, you know, there's a, been a lot of reasons about why that, that the game happened. You know, they some people didn't know that there was any protest at all in the NBA. So it put people at kind of a weird spot. But I think the message was definitely sent to the rest of the world, to the rest of the country, that like, hey, you're not going to be able to get the thing, the product that you want.
You don't get your entertainment if we don't get to live equally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. And I think probably the most important thing to come out of this is, you know, how did this affect rich white guys with coin collections? You know what I mean?
Alexis, you took the words out of my mouth.
That's honestly what I'm really focused on.
As soon as the protest started, I'm like, are we thinking of the rich white guys with the expensive coin collections?
What about the billionaire owners? I mean, it almost seems unfair to them, right?
Yes, because RSL, I believe they were playing against LAFC. And, you know, Mark Anthony Kay from LAFC was also someone who's very vocal online, really talking about why all of this is happening, why we need to stand up.
He's tagging people too. He's tagging commissioners and front office people. He don't care. Mark Anthony Kay is like, nah, fam. Like, if I have something to say, I'm gonna let you know, and I'm gonna tag you in it, so make sure you see it.
But the owner of RSL went on the radio, Del Loy Hansen. Mm-hmm. He went on a radio station that he owns the next morning and was
can't
talking
tell him no, right? Because you'd be like, I don't think this is a good idea.
Who's the guest today? Who's on the roll call?
The guy whose name is on my check. I guess we gotta let him ruin his investment in soccer real quick.
And that's what he went on there and said, and I'm quoting, he said that he was disappointed, or he felt disrespected
personally by the players. How do you not have any way of sort of like, this is what I think when someone gets into that upper echelon, maybe they just don't sort of relate anymore. Maybe they don't see how things affect the world anymore. They see how it only affects themselves, because it is so self-involved, so obviously racist, so obviously dumb to sit there and go, no, well, they're protesting the shooting of a black man who had nothing on him and was stopping a fight.
Yeah.
And you saw it in point blank range, right? And
in the
honestly,
back.
In the back.
Yeah.
And really, I think the most important thing is that I don't get to see the team I own play. You know, like, once you say that, you realize you're just not a part of society anymore. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not focusing. It's really the same thing of like, you know, Trump being upset at protesters or rioters or looters
or people taking tests for COVID
or never even asking, well, why are they upset? And just never addressing what it's like. There's no real, you know, sympathy there. And that and that's what pretty much is going on. So after he did that radio interview, RSL fans obviously lost their minds.
Season tickets were canceled.
Yeah, started sharing it, and they were like, he has to sell the team. And interestingly enough, when I was in Utah and I went to hang out with RSL supporters, and you know, I went to the RSL show. They did a fan event before the season started, and I didn't even know I didn't know anything about him. But as soon as I got there, I was talking to people for like 5 minutes, and they were like, our owner fucking sucks. You know, it made it. I was like, okay, maybe I should learn about this dude. Apparently he sucks.
Everyone hates him.
So now he has to sell the team. He's deciding, quote unquote, deciding to sell the team, but he's essentially forced out.
RSL more like, you gonna sell? What?
Wow. You know what? Alexis, I think, might have ruined this program. All right. Okay, we have a couple updates before we bring on our guest, Roy Wood Jr. One thing you should, if you're watching this or listening to this, go to NYCFC's YouTube channel to see a piece called Undeniable featuring Christian and Alexis of the Cooligans.
We know know those guys.
Okay, yeah, we're fans. We heard of them. You know, I go and make sure I downvote all their videos. No, we
please don't do that. Hit the like button.
We did a maybe like a short documentary piece, a mini doc on how the Cooligans came to be, and it was really really well done. The staff at NYCFC put it together. Shout out to Tanner Smith, who edited the whole thing together.
Yeah, and Tommy, yeah, so some great pictures, and Mark for being there and supporting the whole thing. And also really some great photos of us through our youth.
That's right.
Right.
And our youth academy days. Right. Youth, the youth comedy academy. You know?
We were in the U17s for comedy. Just a lot of fart jokes. And I'm still with it. You know?
So definitely check that out. YouTube.com/NYCFC. It's really, really cool. And we're really, really proud of it. So a couple other updates. First, Messi, Lionel Messi. What's he up to? So as we know,
he considers himself to have rescinded his contract with Barcelona. So he hasn't showed up. The court said, "Nah, fam, you wrong about the date on your contract. Like they're still owed the 700 million euros, which is a lot of money. I don't know if you know that.
I don't got that just sitting in my couch, okay?
You know what I mean? That's not a check. You can't put that in a check. There's not enough room where the numbers go.
The little box is, definitely not enough space. Yeah. That's kind of the issue there. There's a disagreement on, he has a exit kind of clause or whatever that is by a certain date. Right. Like in June or whatever. And because of COVID and the season was therefore extended, that date is really no longer relevant because the date passed. And he's basically saying, no, it's till the end of the season. And Barca is saying, no, it's at that date. Particular date,
and the court agrees with Barca.
Yeah, because there's billions of dollars that La Liga is
the
about
like,
to lose.
All of a sudden, I'm inspired to agree with Barcelona.
You know, I'm a huge fan of the Spanish legal system.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I don't know why, but you leaving seems like it's going to hurt me. Deloy Hansen also says he feels disrespected by Messi. Personally,
I don't even know why he's weighing in. He doesn't even speak Spanish.
What are you doing? I think he's got a Messi coin at home.
So we'll see. This is something that we just have to keep an eye on because from day to day anything can change, and again the season is starting really really soon.
Looks like he's holding out though, so it's gonna be wild to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Barca doesn't want a player that doesn't want to play. Doesn't make any sense. So all right, so we'll keep an eye on it. All right, so Roy Wood's coming up junior, and just a reminder, this interview happened before the protests began.
Right. So we don't ask him about it, which obviously you would expect that we would because it's on the top of the news.
Exactly.
So we'll be right back after this with Roy Wood Jr. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, where we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in this Slack channel because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
We had Zach
Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad, and we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else. If you, you know, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. Again, you can subscribe at whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. All right, baby, we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And this is, we've waited for this moment right here.
Very, very excited, yeah.
The fact that I get to work with this dude sometimes before COVID was an absolute honor. This guy's got, I think last time I counted, 37 shows on Comedy Central.
Give or take. Yeah.
At any given point in time. I mean, this dude has got a monopoly on the Comedy Central YouTube channel at this point. And even during COVID, he ain't stopped working. I don't know if that's his choice. I don't know if his lady is like, you better be doing something, you know? But absolute honor to finally have him on our show. We're bringing comedy and soccer together in the only way we know how. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, pull over. And put your hands together for the one, the only, your correspondent from your daily show and all the other shows he does. Ladies and gentlemen, Roy Wood Jr.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm just happy to still be working at Comedy Central. The way they canceling stuff left and right over here. They canceled Tosh and Drunk History on the same day. I said, oh, my God. Okay.
Buddy, I was worried. I thought you were going to lose 20% of your shows, you know?
Bro, I called South Park. I said, are y'all okay over there?
How's Kenny doing?
What is we going to do?
I am not long for this network. I am terrified. Roy,
yeah, man. Television is an ever-changing landscape. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
As are we. Roy Wood Jr., dude, we are absolutely huge fans. Getting to have you on the show is an absolute honor,
and
we wanted to have you on the show because you're a hilarious stand-up comedian, but you're wearing a Houston Dynamo kit, and when we started this as a podcast before it became a TV show, we were like, yo, what comedians are into soccer, and then on top of that, what comedians are into MLS, and then that's when the list
got real small.
The list got much smaller, and then
very short.
And then for the most part, our comedian peers just bullied us for liking soccer at all, right? So when we saw that you were an MLS fan, we were like, yo, what is going on? How did you link up with the Houston Dynamo?
I think I'm a black MLS fan. The only thing more rare is probably black anime. In fact, I would even argue I'm more rare than black anime.
I think it's so. Because if just you go to like Comic-Con has like a good amount of anime fans that are minority, black, people of color. MLS, they're there, but you're like, well, all right. When you know.
I like it as well. So I worked on a show last summer and I met a black dude who was wearing Atlanta United gear. Now, granted, he's from Atlanta. So when the United started as an expansion franchise, he was just automatically on board. But this dude goes to the games. He yells like he's one of them people that does the hollering and screaming for 2 hours before the game. I'm not that type of fan. Let me make it perfectly clear. I'm dragging ass in somewhere around right after the anthem. I'm doing my food rounds around the stadium and I'm nestled in my seat around the 20th minute.
Okay.
That's just how I run.
That's a good routine.
I do. Whenever I go to professional sports, I do a food lap first. Then you go enjoy the game.
That's right. The exercise you get at the sporting event.
That works really well in baseball and NFL, but you know, soccer, you got 90 minutes. Bro, you can't be taking too much time in the concessions.
For me, the Dynamo just boiled down to get to the question. It's just geography. I'm a boy from Alabama. When the MLS first jumped on, there wasn't a lot of stuff happening down south. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what, I think I like them, and I kind of like, I like the old school, I'm not going to lie, I like the old school Nolan Ryan's Astros joint, which is, with this kid, is kind of like a, you know, an homage to, if you will. So yeah, that's kind of how I fell into it. I grew up playing soccer, didn't play in high school because at the time, you know, I came out of high school in 96. I'm an old fart. And at the time, there was no MLS. There was like, in my head, because every child at 15 thinks you're going to be a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And I go, well, it's either do this until you become an Olympian or go play baseball. And I was like, you know what? Baseball might be a more better path. Because at the time, I was a goalie. I just wanted to be Tony Meola. And even he ended up playing football, punting.
Yeah.
What do you play with, the Chiefs or the Jets? Some, I don't know. He kicked a ball in the pros, and even then he only lasted like a year or two.
Yeah,
that's what they do to soccer players. Yeah, they're like, can you kick far? Come make real big money over here by doing one thing every half hour.
They're like, oh, you want a real job? We have an NFL kicking position.
Who was the Aussie rules guy? He was a punter for the Chargers for a while, and he could like legit tackle. Like he could kick. Because Aussie rules is just basically...
Sav Rocco. We only know that because our producer said that in our ear. There's no chance in hell we would have known that.
Because like Aussie rules is basically punting after a bad snap. So you're basically already cut out for the NFL.
Okay. Yeah, Aussie rules is confusing. The field is an egg shape. It's a very odd sport. But to give the fans kind of a little background, I shot a web series with Roy. I think you directed it, right? Were you not one of the directors as well, just the writer?
No, I didn't direct, but I wrote and starred.
Yeah, Night Pigeon. It was absolutely fun. Yeah. I got to wear a suit. I got to break somebody's computer monitor. It was a lot of fun. It was a wild time. And I'm sitting there in a scene that Roy and I are both not in. We're kind of sitting in a different cubicle. And I notice he's wearing a Houston Dynamo jersey. And I'm like, is this for your character? And he's like, no. And I'm like, where did you find this? You been bargain bin shopping? And he goes, no, man, I'm a fan. I was like, what? And from that moment on, we've been trying to get Roy on this show just because it's like, it blows my mind. And I know you as a Southern dude, right? Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Is it Birmingham? Should I?
Yeah, you hit it right. Birmingham.
But your Wikipedia,
Birmingham, Alabama.
Your Wikipedia says you were born in New York. What?
That's true.
You one of us?
That's true. No, I didn't stay here long. We moved after 7 months. My parents separated. And then immediately I was born and my mom was like, I'm going back to the South.
We want space.
And then by the time they reconciled, my dad was working in Birmingham.
So, okay.
You know, I've been in Birmingham since the third grade. So I wouldn't dare come back to New York City as an adult. I'm like, I'm home, y'all.
Yeah.
What up?
Yeah. Yo, where's my bacon, egg, and cheese? You know?
Is the Bronx up in this thing?
Yeah. Yo, you get off the plane and Tim's like, Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
But yeah, it's fun though to see soccer starting to grow down south. You know, we have the Birmingham Legion, who basically is like, you know, a smaller club, but they're siphoning off of, you know, I don't have to tell you guys, American football numbers are starting to go down as parents start to have safety concerns. Yeah. And they're like, no, go play soccer. And so, you know, I like the Birmingham Legion. They did a cool thing earlier this year where they did commemorative jerseys with the whole Black Lives Matter. They did a Black Lives Matter kit.
Yeah.
Like every other team is like every other sport, it's just painting the logo on the field. And the Birmingham Legion is like, no, put a black fist on my chest.
Yeah, we might change the name to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's hilarious. FC. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm, football club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, the Hum. Yeah. Just call them the Hum.
Okay.
The super fans of the Hum. But they sold the kits. They auctioned off the kits after the game to raise money for the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. You know, every other museum shut down because of COVID. They ain't making no money. We got to keep these artifacts in a safe place.
For sure.
It's cool to not only see soccer happening down south, but to also see, you know, a franchise like the Birmingham Legion connected to the community and the people of Birmingham. And so that's my other squad. That's all I'm going to say. This is my pro squad. And then Birmingham Legion is also who I rock with. I got one of those kits, but it's got a big red diamond T logo. That's their sponsor.
Yeah.
And I wore that around New York, and some I was down in the East Village. You know, that's where everybody smoked the weed in New York, yeah. down there in the Village. That's where all the weed shops.
All the hippies, yeah.
the beatniks.
Yeah. And some dude walked up to me and was like, yo, I ain't never smoked Red Diamond before. I'm like, it's tea, sir. It's Southern style iced tea. It's not. What soccer, what football team has a marijuana kit?
Also, you should have sold them some of that tea and made a little bit of money. Just, it comes in a cool bag, dog. Look at this, with a little string and a tag on it.
And you know what? You can drink it too, bro. You can drink your weed.
Oh, man. Roy, I want to talk real quick because I'm good friends with Michelle Wolf, who worked on The Daily Show for a while.
Yes.
And she told me that Trevor, we actually interviewed Trevor real quick at a charity tournament a couple years ago, maybe like 3-4 years ago. And but one thing I had heard is that Trevor, I think before he goes on camera to tape the show, he juggles a soccer ball.
Juggles.
Yeah, how consistent is that? Is that his routine before he gets on camera?
The same way the football team. You ever seen college football where the team comes out the locker room and they hit the log or whatever stupid trinket is supposed to give them good luck before they get blowed out by 40? Like that's they always wear some stupid gator head and then go out of That's Trevor's thing. Literally, as you know, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Da-da-da-da-da. And then Trevor comes walking out. He's just in the back, juggling shoulders, all of that stuff, man. Like that's his culture. It's Trevor is soccer and Formula One racing. And I've tried, and not just soccer. Like Trevor is like all of the Euro stuff. Like he's into Bundesliga. He's into, you know, Premier League, the whole lot. Like I even think he's watched some La Liga games just like on a slow day at work. Like every now and then we have like what's called a dark week where we're in the office and we're writing stories, but we're not on the air.
Okay.
So the show kind of operates at 50% speed. And so that may be a day where you just see a game on in his office or whatever, but you know, the boy is focused. He has every copy of FIFA from 2015, from when he started.
Okay.
None of them open.
He's never it just has them there.
Never has the time, but he will dish rag you. If you play a minute, I started talking trash. And I like FIFA, but the thing that's difficult about FIFA as it relates to, say, baseball or even like playing NBA 2K, FIFA, you can have players that are capable of doing stuff that none of the other players can do. And pretty much every other football, basketball, everyone can do the same thing. You hit this button, that's your option. You hit that button, that's your option. But Trevor could get Neymar and do some backflip, kick, heel, over the head, nutmeg. And I'm like, my guy can't do
and
that.
Your Birmingham Legion player ain't stepping up to the plate.
What? Because you know, and you know me, Alex. Because you know, I'm whenever I play video games, I choose the teams that I'm actually a fan of. I don't just play who evenly matches against. No, you're gonna get Barcelona. That's cool. I'm still getting the Houston Dynamo. I know that they had trouble winning this year, but it's fine. That's my team. It's what Jay Prince would have wanted.
And you know, Jay Prince, don't say that man's name on our show. We don't want any smoke. Yeah.
They need to Google. People don't know Jay Prince. Google Jay Prince.
Let's just say the reason beefs have stopped is because Jay Prince made a phone call in this game.
Yes. Jay Prince is
but what,
down south record mode.
What I love is you're kind of showing what generation you're from before video games were on the internet. You know what I mean? Because you could pick the Houston Dynamo and go against Barca and be like, all right, maybe we can make it fun. But now that they're updating, you know, like players' skill levels and rankings, you don't stand a chance.
In real time, you can have a good team. And then, they go, oh, no, they suck now. So you know what? We're going to slide down your overall. And at that point, I'm literally just sending everybody. Like, I got 11 in the box in the first half. Like, let's just bring the keeper up. I don't care. It's the only way you're going to have a shot in this corner in the fourth minute.
Also, we're gonna edit out you saying that talent was working during a dark week. We're going to edit that off before the head of this network sees this show.
The one thing I love also, like, and you have a bit. You're a hilarious stand-up comic. Yeah. Well, I'm genuinely one of my favorites. The last time I saw you live was in at UCB Hell's Kitchen. This must have been 3 years ago. Whatever. You were just running a set or whatever. But you do a great bit about soccer fans, like the comparison between
that they're better than football fans.
Yeah, the NFL fans and then soccer fans.
Because soccer fans mean it.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of beef between soccer supporters who, especially in the U.S., who feel like we're trying to kind of change the culture and be kind of have a stronger footprint in the sports culture in America. But NFL fans, generally, if you go to an NFL game, it's pretty boring, right? There's not much going on, and you can go to pretty much any MLS game, and the stadium
constant
might not
action.
Even, yeah. And the stadium might not even be full, but the people are losing their minds in that supporter section.
I went to a Seattle Sounders game, and I can send you a picture of this. Seattle Sounders game in Seattle, and it was half capacity compared to a Seahawks game. It's still, and I grew up selling sodas at Alabama football games. It is still the loudest sporting event I've ever attended.
Wow.
And it was half the capacity of an NFL game. And that was louder. I've gone to a World Series game. I've been to an NHL finals, the Stanley Cup final game. None of it. Clint Dempsey scored a goal and they chanted his name for the next 6 minutes. Like, I'm sorry, that goal happened an hour ago. Why are we still cheering for this goal? But just that's what they do. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a level of excitement. And I do understand where NFL fans are coming from in the sense that a lot of American soccer fans are simply emulating what they may see overseas, or the franchise may encourage that style of cheering. Right. But that's fine if people are into it. Like the fact that the Sounders and the Timbers have this rivalry, when you really think about how long MLS has been around, like, wait a minute, was this fabricated or did you all really hate each other before soccer? Who cares? If somebody from Portland wants to punch somebody from Seattle in the mouth, then let's make it an important game.
Let's talk about it in the pregame. You know?
Correct. And I think that's a good thing. I also think that generationally speaking, you're going to see soccer continue to grow in popularity. It already has. And as children, you gravitate towards the stuff that's on television. And that's the stuff that you want to play and emulate. And I think as soccer continues to have exposure in America, you're going to see the growth. I know the be all end all, you know, at the end of the day, is going to be attracting foreign players from, you know, superior leagues and getting them over here, you know, in the States.
Yeah. I don't think somebody from Portland or Seattle are going to punch each other, but they will throw their iced mocha latte at each other.
Or you know a pour mean? Over coffee. That was $12. Relax. run that back. Play that back. What was the show where you interviewed the comics?
Stand up playback. That's where I sit with the OGs of the game and we watch old clips of them from the 90s and I make fun of their outfits.
Yeah, dude, yeah. With the George Wallace one, I couldn't wait for you to bring up that purple suit or that
Bro,
blue
Bro, where do you buy purple
jacket?
Leather?
Where, it was like an 80s staple.
Oh, Lord, it was such a train wreck.
I always assumed it was like the dudes they grew up with had started a clothing shop and they're like, fine, I'll help you out. I'll wear your clothes on my first special. That's what I assumed. But the reason I bring up that show is because you sort of have a pretty dope career in comedy. And you have, I heard the story once of how you started where I heard you gave up on school to open for Tommy Davidson, but I heard you sort of like finessed your way in to a radio station and a competition and sort balanced it all out.
Here's the advice to any young comic. None of these lies, if it's a lie to advance your career, it's not going to hurt you. Tell it. Tell the lie. Because they're all lying to you. And they're going to, like, ask some people whose shows have been canceled if they weren't promised a renewal. It's all lies. So the Tommy Davidson story, basically, like back in the day, I would pick up Fallout work as a comedian. So I was still in college at Florida A&M. And so there was something called a Fallout email that would come out every morning to let you know what comedians canceled where. And if you could cover that gig, like cover a shift, basically. Yeah. So you go through the email and go, oh, Charlotte, this weekend, Tommy Davidson. Boom. Yes, please. I would very much love to open for Tommy Davidson. And so it was the week of midterms. And I got to Charlotte and I packed 2 weeks worth of luggage because I thought, oh, well, Tommy Davidson is going to see me. He's going to love me. And he's going to ask me to come back to LA with him because that's how in my head, that's how entertainment goes.
I've made it by answering an email.
Yes, I will be on In Living Color soon enough. Yeah.
I never met Tommy Davidson the whole weekend until the last night. Because I went up first, then his opener. And, you know, a guy like Tommy, he's not at the club just hanging out. This is 1998. This is peak Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, yeah. Booty Call. Like, he's, Tommy's hot. So yeah. He's walking in and going on stage. At the end of the last night on Sunday night, Tommy Davidson comes up to me in the green room and he goes, didn't see any of your material, but they said you did good. Keep at it. And he floated away into his limousine. And I'm sitting there on a Greyhound bus riding back to Tallahassee with 2 weeks worth of luggage. And I was like, oh, okay, this is different. And then I got back to campus and found out that I flunked out a course that was only offered in the fall, thus delaying my graduation by a year because it was one of my core classes in journalism. But it seemed like a good idea at the time.
But you made $100 that weekend.
Yeah, but more importantly, I made an impression on that booker that I was willing to do whatever. The radio thing was more straightforward. So when I got out of college, I ended up going back home to Birmingham. And so the comedian on the show at the time, Ricky Smiley, who a lot of people know now, syndicated radio host.
Yeah.
Ricky stepped out of the chair and they were looking for a replacement. So I go up to the radio station. They go, well, we've already auditioned people. Nobody's funny. And I knew at the time, the Black Comedy Night in Birmingham, the radio station always hosted. So I looked at if I could perform in front of D.L. Hughley on a Friday night, the radio DJ will see me and see that I'm funny and hire me. All I have to do now is convince the comedy club to let me open for D.L. Hughley. So I go to the comedy club and I tell Bruce Ayers, the owner of the club, I go, hey, man, I just got hired at the radio station. They want me to open for D.L. Hughley. And he goes, cool, no problem. I said, see you Friday.
Yeah, dude.
And so I go back to the radio station. I say, good news. I just got picked by the comedy club to open for D.L. Hughley. If I'm funny, you have to hire me as an intern. He said, cool. And so on the night, all I had to do was keep the radio host away from Bruce so that these two people don't know that I'm playing them. And I got on stage. I did my thing. As soon as I walked off stage, the radio DJ, Buck Wild, God bless him to this day, he was a man of his word. He said, you did your thing. See you Monday morning. And that began a 15-year career in radio.
That's incredible. So,
if you feel like you're good enough, do it, but you have to back it up.
Yeah, for sure. And every one of our fans
to the top.
Listen, every one of our fans listening is like, now I see why Alexis is friends with Roy, because I've been preaching. Look, I'm a kid from Newark. I'm preaching this since day one. If they believe you lie, then it's the truth. You know what I mean? But you got to back it up.
Trump got elected.
The only truth that matters is the one that everyone agrees to believe.
Yeah, that's the world we live in now too. So, I mean, it is what it is. But what do you think? And this is actually one of the questions from our Gully Squad, which is our group. Adam Mulligan kind of wants to know, like, how different is the comedy world today? You've been in the game since the late 90s and you're interviewing some of these OGs. So you're seeing comedy from day one to now. I don't think it's ever been different than it has been these last 6 months. I've found it a struggle to write comedy because it's hard to sort of, first of all, I don't like writing in general, but it's hard to write because there really is nowhere to really work it out. Like, what are you doing comedy-wise?
Alexis doesn't like writing. He's going to end up selling a book, lying his way.
100%, because it'll be dictated into an iPhone.
I think people have to look at how they are going about how they're going about constructing the jokes, because also what are people in the mood for? And, you know, wherever there's pain and anger, there's going to be laughs. There's going to be something that's an observation we can all agree on, but we're in a 12-hour news cycle. Stuff is moving so fast. Like this, and this sounds crazy to say, before COVID, before the shutdown, I had a joke about mass shootings and just observing what I think causes them, ways to prevent them, things like that. And it's crazy to think that right now in this time, if I walked on stage and talked about mass shootings, it would take an audience a second to even register and remember that.
The mass part, you know, how are that many people in a room?
Yeah. But they still still happen.
Did I give you a tag?
Yes, you did. But they don't necessarily, it's not at the top of the news cycle. So you almost have to add more preamble to jokes that are around topics that people aren't necessarily, you know, at the top of people's minds right now. And, you know, I choose not to perform right now. I canceled all of my dates for the rest of the year. I'm not in a rush to get back on stage, but I am doing a lot of documenting, because at the end of the day, comedy is journalism. And when the time is right, I'll deliver my thesis.
Right.
But, you know, for now, I'm having fun joking a little bit online and, you know, talking. I'll do some Zoom Q&As and silly stuff like that. But it's, as far as proper stand-up comedy, pass. Not right
well,
now.
I took your advice. I've done a few shows, outdoor shows. I'm not doing any jokes from before COVID. I heard you say that and I was like, the guy's right. Everything we talked about before COVID don't matter right now.
Yeah.
What can you talk
about? Crazy right now. Ain't it,
yeah.
folks?
Yeah. Yeah. You're in an audience with people that are paranoid to be there. They probably have someone that has died or been affected by the condition. And if not that, maybe they're on the brink of eviction. Maybe they're unemployed. It's a lot of people going through a whole lot of stuff, and if your comedy isn't plugging into people's pain or their anger right now, I'm not saying that pre-COVID jokes will ever be, you know, maybe post-vaccine, maybe it's time to bring back the tender chuckles, but for now, I think the best comedy plugs it. If you go back and watch Chappelle's 846, bro, that thing had maybe 4 legitimate jokes in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The rest of it was just raw emotion, and it's still connected, because at the end of the day, I think that's what people want right now.
Well, I think I'm trying to reach the 57% of Republicans that feel that 170,000 deaths are acceptable. Yeah. They must be happy at comedy shows. They're chilling.
Well, yeah. You know, when the majority of those deaths are black and brown, that 57% doesn't.
That's why they're happy.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah. Working on The Daily Show, honestly, for me, like I've submitted a dream, you know, to work on The Daily Show. And then I ended up with a whole different TV show, right? So things worked out. But one thing, you know, I've submitted a bunch of packets for the kind of social commentary comedy shows. And it can be draining and exhausting going through the news cycle, trying to find humor through it. How do you get through it psychologically and continue to persevere, even in the face of, like, you know, obviously very serious political issues, racial issues? How do you continue kind of sifting through that and siphoning something funny from it?
You want to help people. And so you want to help people know. Doug Stanhope said this. He said, it's not as much about a career as much as it is about knowing that you're not alone and thinking and feeling the way you feel. And to me, I think that hit it right on the nose, just in terms of what this career is and, you know, what the content that we, you know, the content that we provide and, you know, what you're trying to do for people. And at the end of the day, we're still trying to make you laugh. That's the goal. And I'd say the thing that strikes me differently with The Daily Show is that, you know, in the past, you know, the 4 people that are familiar with my stand-up before I got on The Daily Show, you know, they would say you were funny. But then after we started doing The Daily Show, people would come up to me and say, thank you, which is such an oddly different type of compliment in a way, you know? Yeah. And I think those conversations and those moments are something that are, you know, easy to draw from. But, you know, sometimes there's days, though, where honestly, there just isn't a joke. There's just an opportunity to have shared emotion. When a lot of the unrest happened after the death of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, we were off air for a pre-scheduled 2-week break. Up until that point, we had gone 3 months straight on air without a single break. And so at that point, Trevor was just like, all right, we got to rest the horses for a minute. But when we came back, the nation was in such a state of unrest. There ain't a joke to be had right now. Yeah. So the only thing we can have at that point is real and raw conversation and emotions. And we did that. And I feel like that's just as therapeutic and helpful as a laugh. It's just a matter of knowing when to play, you know, when to play which weapon, you know, within your tool belt.
Yeah. I think it's one of the things that I heard about comedy when I first started. And it really makes sense to us now because we get emails from fans saying like, yo, your show helped me through a difficult time and things like that. It feels weird when comedians get a hug. It feels like we should only be getting high fives.
Yeah.
That's what just makes more sense to me. It's like when someone is saying thank you, it's just like, for what? Like we understand what we provide, but it doesn't feel like it should provide that, you know? It's like, yeah. I guess we can help if people are listening, but, you know?
Sometimes when somebody says thank you, I feel almost like I'm not a real comic. Like that's not the response I should be getting from you. It's a weird thing to like come to terms with.
I think I'm sorry. My child is my child.
That's fine. Good.
I think that as comedians, we have an opportunity to really bring a different perspective to stuff. And that's why when you get into the conversations about free speech and political correctness and blah, 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 I still think that comedians have to be the tip of the sword of change and calling out the BS that's going on in the world. And I don't think that just rests with the Daily Show. I'm happy that this other show is carrying the load because there's so much stuff going on out there. And we only have 30, 45 minutes a night to connect on stuff. So thank God there's a Sam B and a John Oliver and Seth Meyers and Bill Maher and everybody else that's out there trying to at least point out some of the drama and the BS that's going on, you know?
Yeah, dude. It's interesting because the soccer community is also we've spoken about this a lot. The soccer community is wildly progressive, very liberal. Yeah, there's it's all of the sort of the spectrum. But compared to the other sports, soccer fans are, you know, we talked about Portland and all the protests that are going on in Portland. The Portland police slashed the tires of the soccer fan van.
Bus. Yeah, the bus. Van.
They have a van. And it's like they're getting the you know, you don't want the soccer fans upset with you, okay?
Nah,
they get pretty serious.
Imagine them chanting at the cops for 90 minutes straight. If you think if Seattle fans chanted for Clint Dempsey, imagine what they're going to say about you.
Yo, if you really want to turn up these protests, what you need to do is get some of them Eastern European soccer fans and bring them over here and tell them that it's Derby week and the police got a fire ass squat.
Yeah. Man. I'm just afraid of what side they'd pick if we go too easily. Yeah.
You gotta just fill out this form and let us know.
We're gonna have to review some of your tattoos, fam, before we let you in here.
Fair points.
Even, you know, when we started a show about soccer, I think the initial thought was, you know, we're going to be talking about the games. We're going to be talking about just, you know, tactics or just
Instagram accounts,
silly things players may have done. But the more we're involved, especially in sports and politics, you know, people are like, stick to sports or I don't want politics in my sport. They are inextricably linked. You cannot separate them. And the people who ask for it to be separated are even not being realistic.
Yeah. I am still more scared of a sports fan than a political nut. If you had to sit me next to somebody on an airplane for a 5-hour flight, I'd rather sit next to the person that's amped up about politics, whether or not we agree on politics or not.
Yeah.
Because if you're gonna fight me over who kick a ball better, I just don't know. But if you're willing to fight me to the death over policies that you believe will make the country a better place, at least you're standing on something that you think will help people other than yourself. When a dude punch you in the mouth for the Yankees, that's for himself. But when a dude punch you in the mouth for America, that's for the children.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
This belief in that fist.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, another one in the books. Thank you so much, Roy Wood Jr., for joining us of The Daily Show. Just an absolute honor. Just hilarious dude. We're both huge fans, so we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Roy, is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
No, man, the election's coming up. Register to vote, mail in that ballot, mail off to get your ballot, blah, blah, blah. All that other wokey woke, blah, blah, blah. Daily Show, Comedy Central, 11 o'clock from now till forever.
Roy, thank you again, man. So everybody, make sure you follow Roy on social media. Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media channels. Follow at Fubo Sports and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for the full episodes of the program.
Please do that.
Thank you again. So an absolute honor. So with that said, let us end the show the way we normally do. So for Roy Wood Jr., my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!